Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Ray Pritchard from Kansas City. Ray, tell our listeners, you're president of Keep Believing Ministries. Tell our listeners about your website and what kind of stuff folks can find if they go there.
Yeah, if you come to keepbelieving.com, you find a biblical repository of articles, sermons, Bible studies, questions and answers, videos. It's a collection of biblical materials covering all parts of the Bible, and it's free. We want people to come and use the Bible studies, use the sermons, use the videos when you teach, when you preach. And we have folks from America, from all across the world, from 225 countries and provinces who've come to the website, downloaded the material, and used it. And so, folks, we want to help you grow strong in your Christian faith and give you courage to keep believing in Jesus. So come see us at keepbelieving.com.
All right. Thank you for that, Ray. All right. Fred Jackson is in studio with us. Mm-hmm. Fred, what's next on our list of things to discuss?
I think President Trump is just having too much fun. the story this morning, Trump enjoys suspense ahead of Supreme Court announcement. He was out golfing at his own golf course over the weekend. And, of course, reporters are tracking him. And, yeah, it's down to four. You know, they're all good people. Now, I'm told it is noon in Washington, D.C. right now. This is the hour when he supposedly is making his final decision on those four. So I was just talking to our folks in the newsroom. I said, we have to be watching this afternoon. It might get leaked before the official release tonight, which is 8 o'clock Central. That's when the president's going to make the official announcement. But watch out, folks. The way things work in Washington, you may get a leak this afternoon on who the choice is.
Well, you know, Ray, we talked about this during our story meeting this morning. This whole idea of announcing his pick on a Monday night at 9 p.m. Right. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Central time. I mean, that's usually when national, you know, like NCAA championship games
sure.
are, you know, when you have, March Madness, the final game, or you have, you know, the national championship for college football. And so here you have Trump saying, yeah, on this Monday night, no basketball game, no football game, but I'm going to be the main event. I mean, he really does have kind of the ability to know how to draw the most attention to something he's doing.
Look, he has the best sense of theater of anybody who's been in the White House since Ronald Reagan, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he knows how to create suspense. He knows how to use Twitter. I mean, what's that show, What's My Line, where they would have, you know, have the three people. I'm that old game.
Yeah,
show,
and that, well, What's People. My Line, where they would be blindfolded and they would just ask questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or the one where there were three people. You had to guess which one was the real one. Will the real banker step forward? So, you know, you almost halfway think he's going to have Hardeman, Kettledge, Kavanaugh, and Barrett. And all of them, I mean, that won't happen, right? Mm-hmm. That couldn't happen, right? I mean, we think... Really, it couldn't happen, right? But he has created the kind of suspense that we have never seen around a Supreme Court nomination. Okay, so Fred, I got to ask you this. I mean, we don't have any special inside information. So, Fred, if you had to put your money down, who do you think he's going to pick tonight?
Well, I'm usually wrong. So whatever I say, go the other way.
That's kind of like what I was saying about ruining an entire company by investing in it.
Now, I do have to agree with some of the wisdom I've heard, and that is he probably should avoid one of the candidates who's had a bunch of decisions, because that just opens the field up to the Democrats.
Right.
One of these candidates has been involved with like 280 decisions sitting on one of these appeals courts. So the wisdom from that side, who know a whole lot more about this than I do, say kind of avoid that. So if you go with that, then probably Amy Barrett from the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, she hasn't been there very long, so she doesn't have a long list. Now, she's the one that Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein, attacked for her religious beliefs.
Right.
She's a mom of, what, 7 kids, and she's pro-life, and she was attacked for her religious beliefs. She's a strong Roman Catholic lady.
Right.
So, but she doesn't have many decisions. So
she does have writings, though, because she's a professor at Notre Dame.
Sure. At Notre Dame. So she's got that. And does Dianne Feinstein want to go through that again about picking on the religious beliefs of a candidate as that being a basis not to be accepted? So I'm saying it probably isn't Barrett, but then again, watch out tonight. It may be Amy Barrett.
There's four. Four that I think are considered the top choices that, that President Trump will be picking from these four choices. Brett Kavanaugh, Thomas Hardiman, you mentioned, Fred, already, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and Judge Raymond Kethledge. Now, AFA Action has officially come out and said, and I think American Family Association, we would prefer, I think, Amy Coney Barrett. Mm-hmm. As probably the best choice out of these four. We've actually asked, you know, the president to do that, mm-hmm. Send out a letter signed by a couple other organizations as well. And but Ray, we're going to wait till tonight because nobody will know, although it may be possible, like I guess like Fred is suggesting, that the selection would be mentioned, leaked this afternoon. But in any case, whether it's this afternoon or tonight, it'll be the night of the long knives because the Democrats are coming for whomever the president picks.
Oh, that's the case. I think the other reason he's doing it late tonight.
What's that?
I think the other reason he's doing it late tonight, he didn't want to do it this afternoon because the evening news would be filled with criticism.
Right.
So he's bypassing all of that.
Well, that would be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ray, I mean, this is going to be all out war, whoever the president nominates.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who is the, if he wants the easiest path to confirmation, who does he pick? Hardiman, maybe.
Well, I think Hardiman or Kavanaugh. I think I think that some of the GOP establishment types are wanting Kavanaugh or Hardiman because they say it would be the easiest route to getting the necessary votes. So,
well, you know, part of it is the president's temperament and his personality. You know, sometimes people are chosen because you don't want to fight. President Trump is at his best in the middle of a political firestorm, right?
Right.
He doesn't run from that at all, which makes me think, Fred, maybe Amy Barrett gives the pick tonight because can you imagine this pro-life conservative Catholic Notre Dame professor, can you imagine the political firestorm that will be touched off? I mean, it's going to happen no matter who he picks. Mm-hmm. But if he wants the nuclear version, Amy Barrett that's the way to go, right?
Oh, absolutely. And there are a lot of folks who vote Democrat who are very devout Roman Catholics.
Right.
When you think of the Hispanic community in this country. So, you know, President Trump comes out there tonight and talks about Barrett and in very positive terms and her record. And everybody knows, thanks to Dianne Feinstein bringing it up there, initially when she was nominated to the Seventh Circuit, made a big fuss about this. If I was a Roman Catholic, I would have been insulted by what Senator Feinstein said.
Well, listen, she's also, her and her husband, Jesse Barrett, he's an assistant U.S. attorney in Indiana, but they have 7 children. Mm-hmm. 5 of them are biological and 2 children adopted from Haiti.
Yeah.
And her youngest biological child has special needs. So you are going to war not only against a Roman Catholic, not only a person who has very strong Christian beliefs, you're going to war against a mom with 7 kids. 2 of them are adopted from a poor country. 1 of them with special needs. Who's, as we kind of talked about this morning, who's making the war on women here?
Exactly.
Which side of the aisle?
Right. Exactly. Right. It's going to be interesting. Now, of course, everybody's kind of counting heads right now, and there have been, 2 or 3 Republicans have said that they will likely vote against anybody. I'm talking about Susan Collins here and Murkowski
from Alaska.
From Alaska, Jeff Flake, the outgoing senator, not happy with Trump. So
he hates Trump.
And of course, John McCain is not able to come to Washington. So there's a lot of dependence on the Democrats. Well, yesterday, Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois, was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. And so how do you convince these several Democrats who are up for re-election, Democrat senators, to not vote for one of these candidates? Because they know Trump will come out to West Virginia, to Missouri, and say, shame on your Democrat senator for not voting for, let's say, it's Barrett.
Yeah.
How could your senator do that? All right. So Dick Durbin gets on there, and he's asked this question by Chuck Todd. Let's have a listen to this.
Staying united to stop the Supreme Court pick could cost you red state senators. Not fighting it as hard might allow the red state senators to get reelected and get Democrats in control of the Senate. That's your dilemma.
It is a dilemma in one respect, but not in another. I will tell you, the men and women that I work with on the Democratic side really take this seriously. They understand it's an historic decision. It's about more than the next election. It's about what the country, the United States of America, is going to chart as its course in the future on this Supreme Court. I think each and every one of them take that seriously, that personally. It goes beyond the next election.
I think what Senator Durbin is saying there, he believes these Democrats who are up for re-election in November,
in states that President Trump won,
are willing to fall on their sword. In other words, they're willing to vote against any candidate that President Trump picks, because he's saying that's of more historic importance than these Democrats getting reelected.
Well, Ray, listen, I got to say, Chuck Todd, that was a good question, because this is a dilemma for the Democrats. They want to try to take control of the Senate, but do you risk these five seats and giving, you know, you're going to be approaching a supermajority in the Senate if you start losing Democratic seats. But then this is an issue that is so important to the Democrats. This really is a dilemma for them, isn't it?
Well, it's easy for Dick Durbin to say that, or Chuck Schumer said something similar, when you come from states like Illinois or New York, where it doesn't cost you anything to oppose the president's nomination. But if you're Joe Manchin or, you know, Heidi Heitkamp, or was it Tester up there in Montana? You know,
yes,
they are in some really tough re-election campaigns for these Democrats. It's easy for a guy from Illinois to say to somebody in North Dakota, "Well, you can go ahead and sacrifice your seat." I don't know if I was a sitting senator from North Dakota or Montana that would sit well with me.
Well, and I got to say this too: if the Democrats go ahead and block this nomination, which, as I think President Obama said after he got elected, or maybe it was John McCain, I don't remember, but it was after 2008. Elections have consequences.
Yes.
So the president gets to select nominees to the Supreme Court. So if they stonewall this, and Trump says, fine, I'm going to make this an issue, because it's going to take a couple. He makes the announcement tonight, and then there'll be a couple of months of war, and then they'll have a vote. And if the Democrats stonewall it, you are coming up near the 2000 November elections, so the president could make this a campaign issue. This would get the base out, because I guarantee what President Trump would say: get me some senators so that I can do my constitutional duty, and you're going to have conservatives coming out in droves to vote. This could be a historic election, and this could backfire for Democrats.
Yep.
Because this will bring it right into the number one issue, perhaps, in the November elections.
Well, this comes back to the question of who he's going to pick, right? If he picks Hardeman or Kavanaugh, that some people say are the final two, who knows? But if he does, it's a different fight than if he puts up Amy Barrett. Because can you imagine, I'm thinking out loud here, he names Amy Barrett, and somehow the Democrats hold together, Murkowski and Collins defect, if he names her and the Senate refuses to confirm her, can you imagine the anger in Trump's base going into the midterm elections? I think, in a way, I think Trump might be thinking, I'm going to put her up if she gets on the court, good. If not, that guarantees we're going to pick up some seats in the November election.
Well,
hardball politics.
And I would say hardball politics on the part of President Trump would be fine. They would not confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett. I want you to come out, give me more senators in November.
Right.
I will put her up again for the new
Senate.
That's
a beautiful argument.
So that would drive people to say, good, then the elections for the Senate are going to be of paramount importance because we want Barrett on the Supreme Court. So then in January, he does it over again, and he has a new, after they are seated, and he has a new Senate and puts her up again.
Hey, President Trump is a fox.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
He's very smart.
Right.
He designs the deals.
Yep.
he's a very bright man.
Yes.
He really is.
And as frustrated, and this is part of the kind of anger we've seen on the left, he has frustrated the left ever since he got in and continues to win, to use his own kind of expression, continues to win even when he stumbles badly.
Yep.
He just continues to win, and that's been very frustrating for the left.
Well, and I think, you're not going to see this in the mainstream media, but there is a growing concern / frustration and anger with the Democrats with their tactics. You know, attacking members of the cabinet when they're out eating dinner. We had the Sarah Huckabee Sanders incident at the Red Barn, wherever that was, restaurant there a few weeks ago. And we've had other incidents now. Mitch McConnell on the weekend with his
wife.
Yeah,
over the weekend, sure.
And Steve Bannerman.
Steve Bannon,
in looking at books. At a bookstore. And one of Hillary Clinton's former spokesmen found out about the bookstore and told people to go in and speak out against the bookstore owner.
Yeah, that was what happened was Steve Bannon was accosted in a bookstore.
Yeah.
And was berated. The bookstore owner called the police.
Yes.
Because of the disturbance. And the person was arrested. Now, this former Clinton drone.
Yeah.
Put the name of the bookstore and the address on the internet, telling people to go and harass the bookstore owner.
Exactly. You know, reasonable people are not going to put up with that kind of nonsense.
No, right. No.
Because what you're working towards is taking away freedom of speech. You're going to be attacked if you don't agree with me in my political views.
Right.
I think this is a tactic that's going to backfire badly. You know, one more story. I know we're quickly running out of time here, but I wanted to bring it to your attention. I don't know if you folks out there have heard of Antonia Okafor. That she's a young African-American woman, and she was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends, and she has a group right now and a website. But I think she's a millennial young person. So African-American millennial, you think right off the bat that, well, she's your typical Democrat these days. That's not the case. I want you to have a listen to an excerpt from the interview that Fox and Friends did with Antonia this morning as to why she switched. She voted twice for Barack Obama and then switched her vote in 2016 to Donald Trump. I thought this was a great interview and a great question when she was asked why.
I really wanted a champion for someone who would champion fiscally and socially conservative issues. Something very important to me is my Christian faith. 8 years ago, I became a born-again Christian, and God put two very seemingly different issues on my heart. But really, they came down to the core issue of sanctity of life. Who respects that? And those two things were, one, my right to life, and then two, my right to defend that life. And Trump has been a protector of life, and that's why I voted for him.
I was just excited when I heard that so much. Number one, Jesus makes a difference. She's telling us that. Jesus Christ made the difference in her life. But now she is an advocate for the unborn. And she understands if you're going to be a Christian and an advocate for the unborn and the right to stand up against abortion, then in her mind, there's only one choice, and that is Donald Trump, not the Democratic Party. And unfortunately, there have been Christians over the years now, certainly during the Barack Obama years, who thought, okay, I'm against abortion, but I'm going to vote for Obama anyway. Antonio Okafor is standing up and saying, no, you can't have it both ways.
Well, you know, Ray, I've shared this before on air. I haven't done it a whole lot, but I became a Christian when I was almost 20 years old. I was on the debate team 4 years in high school, 3 years in college. I was on the Boston College debate team, and I was pro-abortion before I became a Christian. It just seemed the most, I guess I was probably libertarian. It seemed like the most conservative slash libertarian kind of position. When I became a Christian, I immediately changed my mind. Without any further research into it, I just kind of intuitively knew that I had to defend unborn children. Now, I'm not saying that always happens, and I'm not saying that people who claim to be Christians and are who are pro-abortion have never thought this through. I'm not making any of those kind of claims, but I can see exactly what Antonia Okafor is saying because it happened to me. I completely did a 180 on the issue of abortion simply by giving my life to Jesus Christ.
You know, that's a perfect illustration of the biblical principle that to come to Jesus is like walking out of the darkness into the light. Yeah. And when you come to Jesus, the light begins to shine. And when the light begins to shine, suddenly, Ed, you see everything differently.
Right.
Things that you took for granted, things that you, quote, thought were okay, now in the light of Jesus Christ, you see them clearly. And when you come to Jesus, the light comes on. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord, to come to Christ. And I don't think we should be surprised, Ed, that what the story that Fred's talking about and what you said, this really is true. Jesus is not just a power. He's a person.
Right.
And when he comes in, he rearranges all the furniture of life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? When you open up your heart to him and you turn to him as Savior and Lord, you know what? He does not ask you if he can rearrange the furniture.
No. Right.
I mean, let me just tell you.
That's right. He's not asking permission. He's moving in.
that's right. Well, you know, and I guess maybe we can kind of conclude with this discussion because, Fred, this is something I always want to make clear, even to the critics of American Family Association. We do not look to government to save this country.
That's right.
We do not look to cultural battles or political battles or the Supreme Court to save this country. We understand what the real agent of change is here, and it is the power of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel to change hearts. We understand that.
Yeah.
We also understand that Christians have to stand for righteousness. Mm-hmm. We have to stand for what's right. We have to advocate for the unborn because sometimes it takes a lot of time to change the hearts and minds of an entire society with 320 million people in it. So you have to stand for the right people on the Supreme Court because the next ruling might be one that saves lives. But we understand, Fred, that Jesus is the only answer for this country.
We understood, and this argument goes back to 2016. Nobody said that Donald Trump was going to be the spiritual savior of this country.
Right.
People voted for him, for instance, because of his strong stand, pro-life stand.
Right.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
We finally had a candidate, I don't remember since we've had a candidate like Donald Trump, who was willing to argue for the unborn.
Right.
For that simple reason, many evangelicals who might have been uncomfortable with other things said, I'm going to go with this one.
All right, folks. You got a little sermon there at the end of it. Hope that was edifying. Ed Vitagliano, Ray Pritchard, Fred Jackson, Steve Jordahl have been your hosts. Thank you. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.